1-800-461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here. Well, Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we do a brief monologue. We open the telephone lines and invite you to call in with the dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments, your thoughts in relationship to the issue of the day. And as normal, we face the issues based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we face the issues based on God's Word, and some people may have asked the question, what does that mean? I'm simply saying that with everything that we see, with all the events that's taken place locally, nationally, internationally, and globally, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say in relationship to that which is taking place? And God's Word speaks to it. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 4, woe, let me just pause there. It says, woe unto them. The word woe means calamity. That's the better translation, best translation of that word, woe. Woe unto them that call evil good, good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. And it goes on to say, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. It is a fascinating study when you realize that's what we see taking place today. We have those in the Marxist media. We have those in the Socialist Communist Democratic Party that simply are putting good for evil and evil for good and darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That is, everything seems to be inverted. And that's what we see taking place. But when we understand that fact, we must go back to, what is truth? What is truth? In fact, Jesus, speaking about truth in John 8:31 and 32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then a declaratory statement is made about truth in John 17:17, where the Bible says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible affirms the fact that the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I generally say, in fact, if not most and all of our broadcasts, that we need to stick to truth and recognize truth endures forever, the truth of the Lord. But yet we are living in a society where there's a mindset that somehow, some way, truth doesn't matter. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the 1984 dystopian novel, Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true today. The further we get from the centrality of truth, the more we see those that hate the ones that speak truth. You can see that in the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. You can see that if you're speaking about theological, doctrinal issues, if you're talking about governmental issues, financial issues, whatever the issue may be, you'll find those that want to challenge truth. Somehow, some way, there's the mindset that there's more than one truth. In fact, 55% of the millennials, according to the latest survey, says this. In fact, the headline of the article, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. 55% of the millennials say each person determines his or her own version of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the very problem that we're faced with today, especially when you see in the Beltway of Washington. And we're going to be talking about it today when you see what Robert Kennard is doing and what the woe is me, hair on fire, media is saying, and the socialist Marxist Democrats are saying. With what they're saying, you think the world's coming to an end because finally the onion is being unpeeled and we're finding the lies and lies and lies that we've been told about COVID, about the COVID remedy, and all of those that's been involved in that. It goes along with what I see as a major headline. It says, Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. This article goes on to say, American institutions are suffering from a collapse of public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. It goes on to say, fashionable in academia today and for decades, that truth is relative, or that it's a matter of individual perception, or cultural mores, or even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in particular, that we seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth any place in the realm of the Beltway of Washington for the most part. But we need to seek truth, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. Tools for Time.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about the subject today, the issue. After COVID, what? Now, I understand that we've gone through the morass and the harassment and the maze and haze and the deception, the misinformation and disinformation coming directly from the government, the governmental agencies for several years now. But the onion is being unpeeled through the leadership of President Donald J. Trump and his appointed cabinet, in particular the head of HHS, which is Robert Kennedy, and that onion's being unpeeled. And as the onion is being unpeeled, we're finding the greater and greater and may I just emphasize that again? And greater revelation of just how we've been lied to and how broad and how deep the lies have been. Now, I'm going to cover a great deal of information today. We have a very special guest that we're going to introduce in just a few moments. And our guest that we'll be discussing things with today, a physician, a medical doctor, will give more of his credentials and background in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, you recall the national dilemma over the governmentally controlled aspect of our lives. Government control of our lives. And the terrorizing years of COVID. Let me just very quickly give a bullet point of these terrorizing lies that we were exposed to as citizens in America. We were told that the virus came from a wet market in Wuhan, China. They lied. We were told that the infection fatality rate was 4%. We lied. They lied. We were told that the mask would stop the spread. They lied. we were told that COVID, if we could just flatten the curve by as much as 2 weeks, it would stop the progression. They lied. They told us that the vaccination would be 97.5% efficacious. They lied. They told us that everyone needed a 1, 2, 3, 4 boosters, the vaccinations, that it would be efficacious. They lied. They told us that the virus was was something that could be found on counters, grocery store bags, even out in the beaches in California. Governor Newsom restricted people couldn't go in the beaches. He said the COVID might be flowing in through the waves off the ocean. They lied. Ladies and gentlemen, they told us that the gain-of-function research was not being conducted at Wuhan Lab. They lied. And I could go on and on and on infinitum with the lies that we've been told. So just who are the they? We need to identify that. Just who are the they that lied to us? Dr. Fauci and others, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the FDA, Big Pharma, our political leaders, both sides of the aisle, social media, the Marxist media today, and all that are connected thereto, still want to hold to the misinformation and disinformation, not that we as the citizens were talking about, but they, i.e. the government, the media, were trying to promulgate the lie. That is a continuing effort. And this is the reason we see, ladies and gentlemen, the hair on fire screaming in relationship to President Trump's cabinet, and especially with Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy now leading the Health and Human Services, which has the oversight, by the way, of CDC, NIH, and the FDA. So today, we're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, the unpeeling of the onion. Just a little brief point that I make before introducing our guest. I'm reading an article that says, when President Trump announced Kennedy as his pick to lead HHS, he said, for too long, Americans have been crushed by the industrial food complex and drug companies who have engaged in deception, misinformation, and disinformation when it comes to the public's health, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, Robert Kennedy just fired Susan Monterez, which was the head of the CDC. He's fired the, I call it the board of directors. I don't know their legitimate title. He's fired them all. And ladies and gentlemen, Robert Kennedy, under his leadership, they've canceled, along with President Trump, they've canceled over $600 million in big pharma research grants. He said that there will be no forced vaccinations for the public. You choose what goes into your body. Kennedy now is demanding that Big Pharma produce all the documents, all of the evidence to prove their claims. And President Trump, when he appointed Kennedy as the head of HHS, Trump said, the companies have engaged in deception and misinformation and disinformation when it comes to public health. So, ladies and gentlemen, who do we go to? Where do we go to get some insight on this issue, when we talk about after COVID, what? I'm delighted, ladies and gentlemen, to have with us today our special guest, Dr. Stephen Grable. Dr. Grable is a family practice physician, board certified, I believe it's for over 35 years. He advocates for the patient's informed consent before drugs and medicines and medical devices be administered. Dr. Grable, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. I know your time's precious, so I'm thankful that you're taking time away from your medical practice to join us, and thank you so much to Let's Face the Issues.
Reverend, it's great to talk to you. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear. That's good, yes.
Super.
Tell me, Dr. Grable, I think it'd be beneficial for our listeners. Tell us something about you, your practice, and not all of the story at this point. We'll unfurl that in a moment. But what are your thoughts when it comes to injecting material into the human body? How do you view that in your practice? Some would call those as you and I stand as no vaxxers. I don't think that would be identifying you. Speak to that issue and why it's so important to have this conversation today.
Well, Reverend, I actually, about 25 years ago, took care of autistic children for a short time. So I really deep dove vaccines. I spent hundreds of hours studying this and have read Moskowitz and Humphrey's books Suzanne Humphreys does a marvelous job of showing the graphs of infectious disease that dissipated due to sanitation and nutrition, not vaccines. And in fact, when vaccines were introduced, for example, diphtheria, there was a spike in diphtheria. And so one of the things I wanted to, if I could kind of start off our conversation, I wanted to just mention for your listeners, this is kind of hot off the press stuff. You've probably seen the recent Henry Ford study that Aaron Seary presented to the Senate. And for the listeners who haven't known this story, Del Bigtree has been a vaccine safety guy for many, many years. And roughly 7-8 years ago, he was talking to Marcus, who is a ID head of Henry Ford system, medical system. And he said, well, why don't you do a study of vaxxed versus unvaxxed to kind of silence these anti-vaxxers? So this guy decided, he said, fine, I'll go ahead and do the study, thinking that it was going to be positive for vaccines. Well, when it was finally they got the data after 10 years in 2020, the data was devastating against vaccines, and he and the co-author refused to publish it because they were fearful for their reputation and careers, et cetera. So Aaron Seary, who is the attorney for Children's Health Defense, somehow got a copy of this study and presented it in front of the Senate. I believe it was just last week. And if I could just to give a couple of high points here.
Yes, do that.
They had tracked over 18,000 kids for 10 years. It's a big, big study. They found that there was almost 500% more autoimmune disease, 450% more neurodevelopmental disorders. And I know a lot of these numbers are tough on the radio, but suffice it to say that autoimmune developmental disease, asthma, and general toxicity was much, much higher in the vaccinated group, much to the chagrin of the studiers. And so actually Del Bigtree, October 3rd, is coming out with a documentary about this. This is really foundational, I think, for all the work that Robert Kennedy and other people who are trying to bring truth out will find extremely helpful.
Absolutely. And as you know, Dr. Grable, Robert Kennedy has been advocating for years and years and years. In fact, he is not a physician. He is, you know, an attorney. And he has fought many, many cases against Big Pharma. And as I understand it, he's won most of them. And his advocacy is the fact that the vaccines do, in fact, positively, without question, cause autism. And yet there are those that are claiming that that is not the case at all. In fact, I'm looking at an article in relationship to CDC in general. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. calls out CDC's disastrous failures, defends his cleaning of the house at a heated hearing. He's cleaning a house because, let's face it, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that all of those that were the board members, if you please, the advocacy, the group, I believe it was 7 members on the CDC board, all of them were former Big Pharma employees that migrated to CDC, and all that they were doing with CDC was advocating for what would increase the money revenue returns for Big Pharma. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, it's a very incestuous relationship, and the FDA is involved in that as well. It's kind of a revolving door between the FDA and these researchers. And a lot of patients, a lot of folks don't realize that over half of the income for the CDC is from vaccine patents.
Absolutely.
So they really have a reason to falsely support all this vaccine nonsense.
Absolutely. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this, and it might embarrass Dr. Grable, and I don't mean to do so, but I'm thankful to have him as a personal physician. And during the apex of COVID, Dr. Grable treated our family, and I am thankful for his treatment and for his response to the COVID and the anti-vax position that I take, and that he complemented that with the prescriptions and medications and things that he provided for us at that time. So, Dr. Grable, again, publicly, I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you for your medical advice, for assisting our family during those days. So, next question. The Marxist media, Dr. Grable, and multitudes of others in the Democratic Party, are screaming with the hair on fire that because, they're using this term, that because Robert Kennedy is an anti-vaxxer, and because he's saying now, and Dr. Bhattacharya, that is, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, that is also part of the big picture in the medical field or in the FDA and CDC realm. I believe Dr. Bhattacharya is the head of the NIH, if I'm not mistaken. They're saying now that the vaccinations will not be mandatory, but only on a volunteer basis. Because Bhattacharya, I believe it was, said, we're not going to tell an individual what to put in his or her body. That's their choice. How do you respond to that position? Is it good, bad? How would you elaborate on that?
Oh, I think it's terrific. And to even further support that, our Surgeon General of Florida, Dr. Lodapo, about a week or two ago came out and said that all vaccines will no longer be mandated. And I think this is a wonderful, huge step forward. In my practice, my job is to educate. And I, as long as a patient is educated, then I respect whatever decision they choose to make. But I think if anyone takes the time to really study this stuff, they'll realize that this is a 200-year lie. I'm looking here at Kennedy was on with Fox's Martha McCallum, and they were discussing vaccines and autism. And he responded that there were 17 studies done by the Institute of Medicine. 14 of those studies were invalid. They never studied vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And none of the vaccines were given to kids within the first 6 months of life. So when you go back and you start looking at the research, you realize that they've never really researched these things appropriately.
Well, that's one of the reasons that, as I understand it from Robert Kennedy and even through the voice of President Trump, they're saying now, and I'm using the term they, President Trump, Robert Kennedy, and those in that circle, they're saying to Big Pharma, okay, you said the vaccinations were 97%+ efficacious. You're saying that you did all of these studies and it proved that to be factual. You're saying all of these things. Now, here's the where the water hits the wheel. President Trump and Kennedy are saying, show us the proof. Bring the documents out. Put the documents in light. Let the public see those documents to validate that what you've said is in fact true. Do you think they'll be able to do that?
I think it's a wonderful step forward. I think that what we can do as public is to let our representatives know our feelings about all this, because obviously Big Pharma has a huge lobby in Congress. But as more and more people become aware, I think, and especially the fact that now that Dr. Lodapo has taken away any mandate of, you know, that I know, for example, in the Catholic Church, which I grew up in, they would mandate that these poor kids get all these shots. And so I'm really happy to see that they're no longer to be able to force families to go ahead and do what they don't feel they should be doing.
Well, wouldn't you agree, and I know that this is true, but I want to hear it from you for our listeners' benefit today. Wouldn't you agree that one of the major, major deficits that we found, especially through COVID, is patient consent, informed consent? For the most part, I don't think there was any informed information being given to the patients. Patients stabbed in the hospital, start putting them on ivermectin, not on ivermectin, on remdesivir, and a ventilator being stabbed down the throat, and yet they were not told that if this ventilator stays in you for more than 14 days, 83.7% of the patients will die, and that remdesivir is going to destroy the lungs, the heart, the liver, the kidneys. Are my statements correct?
Absolutely. And interestingly, when you look at the package insert for the COVID jabs, when they first came out, were basically a blank sheet of paper. So even the doctors were totally unaware, unless they dug, to know what these things, these bioweapons, really did. Just as an interesting fun fact, we had 99.9% success in my practice saving COVID patients. I only lost one, and ironically, it was a 45-year-old pastor. It was early on in COVID. He was hypoxic and pretty sick, and I was a little bit nervous, so I sent him to the hospital. Well, as you say, they gave him that remdesivir, which the nurses would refer to as run, death is near. And next thing you know, tubes down the throat, and 2 weeks later, the poor guy's dead. And it's just horrific, because we had all kinds of things like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, IV ozone, other things that could help patients to recover without going through all this. So definitely patients were not informed properly.
That is the, I believe, the real deficit that we find, as I see it from a layman's standpoint, of all that we've gone through as a nation, all that we've gone through as a people in relationship to what is called COVID. And by the way, just a little teaser for you to articulate in your thoughts for our listeners. As I had one physician that said, COVID-19, they had to be 18, 17, 16, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes back to SARS-1, and that in 2020, I believe it was, 38.5 million people died from influenza, and then in 2022, only 1,500 worldwide died. So does that tell us, should we believe, that somehow, some way, we were lied to in relationship to what was designated as COVID, but was really a bad case of flu?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The statistics show that there was really no increased death rate from COVID itself, other than maybe getting killed in the hospital, and that these were pretty much influenza cases. So, no, that's absolutely correct.
Now, another question, and I think I'm correct on the numbers, that from a child's age of 6 months to 17 years before his 18th birthday, that with the present current vaccine structure, that a child from 6 months to 17 years of age will be required to take 67 different vaccinations. Should that cause alarm for the listeners today?
It should, and it's actually a higher number than that. It was 72, and then if you tack on COVID shots, we're probably up in the 80s. Mm. I was glad to see the FDA at least came out and said that young people should not get these COVID shots. Because, you know, the data is, well, it's overwhelming for all age groups, but especially in the youth, that they just can't sweep this under the carpet any further.
Yes, and some of the various studies that I have reviewed, just from a layman's perspective, COVID, especially with big pharma Pfizer, finally admitted that it's very, very dangerous for a male 25 to 55 years of age to take the COVID shot, because it could cause all kinds of respiratory problems, and in particular, blood clots in the arteries or in the heart. Is that true, or am I just reading something incorrectly?
Oh, no, that's absolutely true. Peter McCullough, who I know you're familiar with.
Yes.
He was the editor for two cardiovascular journals at the absolute pinnacle of cardiovascular research and treatment. And in his career, he said he had seen perhaps two myocarditis cases. He said now he's seen well over 1,000 from these COVID jabs. And Dr. LaDapo was frustrated because we now have evidence there's DNA in these shots, and it actually goes in and alters the patient's DNA, which is very scary.
Yes. If you would take a moment before our top of the hour news break and elaborate on that just a little. What does that do to the DNA?
So what the messenger RNA and DNA does is it inserts, we have DNA, which are two strands of basically our blueprint that tells us who we are. And so when these get in and they insert into our DNA, it actually changes who we are. In fact, I've read articles that people who have gotten these shots, and not to make people frightened who are listening, but that they're called transhumans. And if you look at the actual fine print legality, these pharmaceutical companies could, in theory, I'd like to see them try to put it in practice, own it. Because, you know, you now have, quote, voluntarily agreed to take their product and it's changed you and so forth and so on. And of course, to me, it's all demonic. But
yes, you know, hold your thoughts for just a moment, Dr. Grable. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.